Bug.
Okay.
Bug, bug, bug.
Why are you bugging out?
Because I'm a bug.
No, you're not.
Bug. Bug.
Stop it.
Bug.
I don't like this.
Okay. Bug. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 1st, 2011. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
So we're actually using that intro?
I don't know. You can only use a couple of those bugs if you want.
Okay, good.
Bug! Alright, so... welcome to the show, everybody. That's my catchphrase, for people who don't know. It's bug. It's a very clever catchphrase. I just scream bug. So people go, ah, or oh no, or
my favorite is like, if you want to see if I'm online on Google Chat, you just send like a message that says bug.
I do. I go, bug question mark. It's like my way of finding out if you're there. It's a very versatile word, bug.
I guess so.
I mean, there is a backstory. I could go into it. I don't think
that's all right. Let's go into the podcast and tell people what we do.
Well, we're going to start with the news. Then we'll go on to Let's Go Topical, our week in gaming, and the releases. So why don't you get started there?
Okay. So NPD announced some interesting data that the Xbox 360 has sold way more online-enabled games than the PS3.
Oh, that's not shocking, is it?
Where it gets more interesting to me, actually, is when you look at the number of like points cards sold per system.
Oh, I'm sure
it's
Xbox
leaps and bounds.
I'm sure.
Meanwhile, Nintendo is like a non-competitor in the whole thing.
Oh yeah, and hey, they don't even seem to care that
no,
they're missing out
no,
on that money.
No. So yeah, so there's that.
Right.
You know what else Nintendo doesn't care about?
Publishing Japanese role-playing games.
That's right. So there's this whole kind of grassroots effort to get Nintendo to publish Xenoblade and other games.
Xenoblade. The Last Story and Pandora's Power.
Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing: these games are coming to Europe.
At least a few of them are, I think.
English translations have been done, and so basically, this grassroots campaign called Operation Rainfall. Basically, what they did, even though these games aren't confirmed for any kind of U.S. release, they're still viewable on Amazon. So they just started pre-ordering it, and it actually became the number one most pre-ordered game on Amazon's site.
Jeez.
Like, over everything else. So Nintendo acknowledges all this on their Facebook page on the 26th, saying, "Hey fans, we appreciate your enthusiasm. Look for more updates to come soon." Exciting, right?
Right.
2 days later, they post the following. "Thank you for your enthusiasm. We promised an update, so here it is. We never say, quote, never, but we can confirm that there are no plans to bring these three games to the Americas at this time. Thanks so much for your passion and for being such great fans."
This is kind of an off-topic. I think we've done this before, but I always like when they say America.
I know. Well, Penny Arcade at that comic
was right.
Great. It's like, you could just say North America.
The Americas. But, I mean, it's, you know, it sucks. It's lame. I don't know why you wouldn't just bring these games out here. It's not like, you know, the Wii has a cornucopia of games coming out this fall. It could certainly use some help.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. Like, Nintendo's... when they were talking about the Wii U this week, they said, like, oh, like, the controller is a push to go back to the hardcore. And I just want to be like, the controller is not the issue. The games are the issue. Like, Mario Galaxy, Mario Galaxy 2, Zelda, Wind Waker, they are hardcore games, and they're good games. It has nothing to do with the controller I'm using. You know, you put out frickin' Animal Crossing, and I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter what controller I'm playing it with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder who makes these decisions.
I think Jim Sterling said something funny where I was like, guys, you know, because like Nintendo was trying to throw the whole money card, like, oh, we just don't want to spend the funds to localize these games. And Sterling was like, yeah, because, you know, all those big companies like Atlas and stuff can really manage that, but Nintendo...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, especially Last Story, because that's Mistwalker.
Yeah.
That's kind of a... I don't know. I really don't know. I think Xenoblade's by the Xenogears guy. I don't really know as much about Pandora's Tower, but, like... they shouldn't have released these things on the Wii in the first place. I think that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not even just a matter of the Wii doesn't have very many JRPGs. We don't have very many JRPGs anymore in general.
I think it's a dying genre. It's just not as big as it once was. I mean, it has its fans, to be sure.
Right, it hasn't been.
But, like...
It's not a mainstream genre anymore, at all.
The days of, like, our friends from, like, school, like, 100%ing Final Fantasy VII are done.
Right. No, basically... I mean, it was kind of running off of the Final Fantasy vibe for a while.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, did you see Final Fantasy III came out on the Virtual Console this week?
I did, but I mean, the advanced version's a lot better.
Right.
Of course, now you need a system that can play Game Boy Advance games.
That is true. All right, let's see. Another company pissing off its fans is Capcom. So it was revealed shortly before the release of Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D, like from a little blurb in the instruction manual, you cannot delete or reset the save data. So everyone was like, oh, well, this is an obvious ploy to prevent used sales of the games. And even for a short time, GameStop was refusing trade-ins of it. There's still some places in Europe that are. Mm-hmm. Capcom issued a response... where they're like, no, this isn't to prevent used game sales. It's a technical thing because games data is saved directly onto the game card.
Isn't it always? I don't understand that.
I then proceeded to fire up my copy of Zelda 3D, and lo and behold, there's a button there that says erase.
AJ, you could open up your copy of The Legend of Zelda for the NES where the save data was saved directly to the cart and delete that. We had this thing figured out a long time ago.
And I didn't look at it, but I'm pretty sure that in Super Street Fighter 4 3D, there's also an option to delete your save data.
No, he's just... this is why I'm mad, because it's just a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
He's just lying. Like, what else could it be?
Well, and then they're like, well, it's a convenience for our fans because, we really see it as almost like an arcade game, like a fighting game where you're unlocking content and, beating high scores, so that's why you can't delete anything.
But that's
stupid.
It still doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? It's convenience. Like, just, what?
If I want the option to reset my data, I should be allowed, because there are people who like to reset that stuff for whatever reason.
And what did they say to GameStop shouldn't sell this game used? What did they say to them to change their minds? This won't be worth much used, I imagine.
Well, no, but, I mean, I'm glad they are. Could you imagine the precedent it would set where, like, all of a sudden now this becomes the norm, you can't delete save data?
Look, the problem is that Capcom released half of a game with this stupid thing.
That should have
just been part of that Revelations game or whatever the hell, whatever
that's
generic
the
title
line.
They're giving it.
And that's the bottom line.
Right, no. Since they made half a game, like, this is usually... the fucking bonus feature that you unlock when you beat a real Resident Evil game, the whole Mercenaries thing. And if you wanted to rush this out for, like, the launch, okay, whatever. But now it's, like, months afterwards, and it's $40. You have one save. You can't erase it. Like, this is exactly the kind of, if it wasn't for the whole, can't erase save things, this is exactly the kind of game people would want to buy pre-owned. Because it's not worth $40 fucking dollars.
Well, I played this game at PAX, and I was like, this isn't a full game. It's like you're just playing random missions out of old Resident Evil games. And it's like, well, this isn't very... I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of fun to play. But, like, this goes back to that whole thing where, like, Nintendo does not want to sell games under, like, some base retail price because they think it undervalues software. Well, you're not doing a good job putting out a shitty game for $40 on your system.
This isn't Nintendo there. This is Capcom.
But this, I feel like if this were like a $10 or $15 downloadable title on the 3DS eShop, shit, yeah, I'll download that in a heartbeat. There's no way in hell I'm paying $40 for this. No way.
What's wrong with all these people, all these Japanese developers?
Oh, that's the truth. It shocked me when I went to go get Sega Sonic All-Star Racing on my iPad, and it was actually a universal app for iPhone and iPad. I think that's the first time I've seen a Japanese publisher do that. They always split them up. I mean, look at, Final Fantasy Tactics, which recently got delayed. It's coming out, like, for iPhone in July and then iPad in August. It's like, can't you just do it at the same freaking time? Oh, my God. And, I mean, granted, like, EA does it, too, I guess, but still, it's... it's mind-boggling.
Well, next.
Summer of Arcade. We have a list. It's going to go like so. July 20th will be Bastion, then From Dust, then Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, Fruit Ninja Connect, and Toy Soldiers Cold War. All very good-looking games I'll probably buy.
Toy Soldiers is going to be the wink link there, I think. Just from what I played.
The original Toy Soldiers was really popular, actually.
I didn't realize this. What was the first one?
Toy Soldiers is just called.
Was it just an Xbox Live Arcade game?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess I just don't... I didn't know it was a pre-history.
I never got
it.
I just
played it. I mean, it seemed pretty standard, but whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, if you do get all five of those, then the September 7th Xbox Live Arcade game is going to be Crimson Alliance. You'll get that for free.
What's Crimson Alliance?
It's kind of like a Diablo Torchlight kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Bastion's already kind of like that, but probably it's going to be better.
Yeah. But hey, get for free, so...
Well, whatever. You get for free when you pay, like, $40 to get all those games.
Oh, more than that. Let's see. $30, $45, $60, $70.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's okay. I'm probably going to get three of those, but...
Right. No. Some more good news. We have won in the Supreme Court in the California Violent Video Games case.
Oh, we won.
Yes, we the people. Basically, the Supreme Court did say that video games are protected speech and enjoy all First Amendment rights as any other entertainment medium.
I feel like this is the 10th time we've said this. Not this specifically. I know this is the Supreme Court now, but it's
right.
Like, you know, I'm almost getting tired of going through this every time.
Like, well, yeah.
Now that the Supreme Court has said it, can we, like, stop?
Well, here's the thing I hate, though. They did, if you read the one wording, I didn't write this down anywhere. I could find it quickly. They did kind of leave it open to potentially come under fire again. And so that's frustrating. It was a 7-2 decision. The two justices, like, who were against it were still saying, like, oh, well, it's unproven still, the psychological effects of interactive entertainment.
And no,
it's like,
man.
I mean, I think it's pretty well proven. I mean, here's the bottom line I say to that. How old are you, Mike?
I'm 24. I've been playing games for a while. I feel fine.
Thank you.
I'm cool.
I think we've gotten to the point, and like, just you could say, look, I've grown up playing these things. I'm a well-adjusted adult.
You can't say they're unproven now. Like, we have people.
I know.
That have been playing games for a while.
You don't need to do a study. You just need to talk to people.
It's all cool, everybody. Everybody, chill out.
So Michigan had some kind of law on the ballot. They've dropped it. Of course, the there's still California Senator Leland Yee, who's the guy who wrote the law, is pledged to continue the fight. And he's very confident that he can rework it to make it constitutional, and I don't know, this guy's just an idiot.
Whatever.
He's just wasting money and time.
Well, sure.
I don't know. So, yeah, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Okay, so Sir Howard Stringer, the CEO of Sony, spoke in front of shareholders last week. First, they called for his resignation, which he just kind of ignored.
That's nice.
And then he went on to say that the reason Sony was hacked is because they so adamantly tried to protect their IP. Basically, he said that Sony is unwilling to make a distinction between modding a PlayStation so you could run Linux on it, which was an original feature of the product, and pirating games. Like, they will not see a distinction there, and that's why they feel they came under fire.
Okay. Well, probably, I mean, that is, right? Because they were brought under fire. Weren't they brought under fire because they tried to arrest the one kid who, like, opened up the PlayStation?
Well, this all started because they removed the other OS option.
Sure.
And then that guy actually now has a job at Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that. That's interesting.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, do you feel like everything that happened, like, merits Stringer stepping down as
CEO? Well, that's actually a Let's Go topical.
All right, I'll save it.
If we think he should step down or not. So we'll see.
All right. World of Warcraft is making strides to get you addicted,
weren't
already. So the 4.2 patch came out this week. I'll be playing some of it today.
I've been playing some of it, yeah.
And what they've announced now is that World of Warcraft is now free to play up to level 20. Basically giving you access to... I know, it's kind of cool. Well, I mean, that was always like the 14-day free trial. Like, even though it was a 14-day trial, it'd still stop you at level 20.
Right.
So they're basically just removing the time limit on that restriction. You get access to the base game and Burning Crusade through this trial. And if you want to upgrade, you could get what they've now dubbed as their digital battle chest, which gives you the base game and Burning Crusade for $20. So it's not a bad deal. If you know, if you've never tried World of Warcraft, this is your chance.
So, but since you don't get Wrath of the Lich King, or, well, more importantly, Cataclysm, you can't do Goblin or
yeah, so you're Worgen. Locked out of Goblin and Worgen, but you do get Draenei and Blood Elves.
Well, they kind of have the worst starting areas now, because they weren't updated.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're still fine, but I mean...
The Draenei one's good, I like it.
Right. But, yeah, that's cool. People can... Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of people probably will only ever play to level 20.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I mean, I'm assuming this means that even if your account's inactive and you just want to tool around, you could go make an alt and play it to level 20 just for kicks.
Sure, why not?
Yep. Not to be outdone, Sony, in the wake of Star Wars Galaxies being announced to close at the end of the year, has kind of reshuffled their PlayStation Pass, Station Pass, I think they just call it.
Right.
This is their thing where it was kind of like a catch-all subscription for all their MMOs. Used to be $30 a month, so now it's dropping down to $20 a month. This gets you unlimited access to EverQuest, EverQuest 2, Pirates of the Burning Sea, PlanetSide, DC Universe Online, Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures, Free Realms, and Vanguard, plus all the subscriber benefits of EverQuest 2 Extended. You get free access to the clients, with the exception of the latest EverQuest and EverQuest 2 expansions, Vanguard, and DC Universe. So you get Pirates of the Burning Sea, PlanetSide, all the older stuff for EverQuest, all for free with your subscription.
I really wonder what that's like to play EverQuest now.
People still play it.
I mean, it's EverQuest.
A lot of people still play it.
But man.
I didn't realize Vanguard was still operating.
I didn't know half those games were still operating.
I'd play PlanetSide.
I'm sure you would.
I love PlanetSide.
I know you do.
Yes.
I didn't know they still had servers for that.
Yep. So Google this week launched their Google Plus social networking service. The reason I bring it up is because some people were digging around the source code and they found reference to Google Plus games. There was also a job posting at Google earlier in the week before Google Plus launched that talked about hiring people for their games platform that no one quite understood. The expectation is Google actually put a significant investment into Zynga, who recently went public.
Right.
So probably we'll be seeing some cross-pollination there.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
But, I mean, you're in the Google Plus preview with me, so we got invites. What
sure.
do you think?
I don't really have any strong opinions on it.
Okay.
Right now. I mean, I don't know.
Like it. It's kind of like in between Facebook and Twitter in a way that I really like.
I mean, I just don't know if we need another one of these, but here it is. We'll see.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll take off. I think everyone's playing with it now because it's new. And they all
what
say they
it,
like it.
What makes it smart the way it works is because it integrates with all Google apps. Like, I have Google Docs open right now. I can see my notifications at the top of the screen.
Here's the thing. Right now, it's a thing where all of my, tech-savvy internet friends are on. Facebook mm-hmm. is something where all of my friends are on it. And
right. But that's how Twitter started.
Sure. But, well, even for me, Twitter, I still don't have all my real friends on Twitter.
I have some.
I don't have, not nearly as many as on Facebook. See, I feel like Twitter's already performing that service for me, and Facebook's already performing the other one for me. So, like, the best that this can do, really, is overtake Twitter, because this is kind of just a super Twitter in my eyes. Like, not so
well,
much
I'll say this.
Facebook. What?
I like their photo sharing a lot better than Facebook's. It actually loads pictures when you click on them, which is nice. And, like, it ties into your Picasa album. As long as pictures are below, 2,000 by 2,000 pixels, they don't count towards any storage limits or anything. So, it's actually pretty nice.
I see. Well, then.
Okay. Proving that jealousy rules the internet forever.
Forever.
People have come up with a script that they could install in a Team Fortress 2 server to block out free players.
That's interesting.
Some servers claim that the reason they do this is because they're worried that if someone gets banned from Steam, they could just create a new Steam account, play Team Fortress for free anyway, and get back in. But other sites, it's purely a dick move. Like, oh, we paid for this game, and you didn't, so you don't get to play with us.
I just downloaded a Team Fortress 2 update. Maybe it's to block that.
Oh, good.
So I can't imagine that'll go well. That's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But whatever. Stupid people will do stupid things.
Yes. More free to play. Mike, you can now play Age of Conan to your heart's content.
Oh, thank God. Finally. Man, we... Ugh. That's like the epitome of, an MMO I just don't know why they made. It's like, wait, what?
It was supposed to be one of the big ones that was going to be on console and PC, and that didn't happen.
Right, yeah, honestly. The only time that ever actually happens for DC Universe Online, I don't think anybody cared that much.
Well, even that one, that you can't play cross-platform.
Oh, really?
The console has a server, and the PC has a server.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, then. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. And a final free-to-play-ish story here. Disney has confirmed that split-second developer BlackRock Studios is closing down. Apparently, the last game that they were working on was a freemium Dota-style RTS. Didn't get greenlit, and that was kind of the death knell for the studio.
Oh, there you go. I thought, yeah, this was... We all knew this was coming.
Yeah, it's sad. Because I was tooling around on live the other day for some reason, and I was playing Pure on it, and that's actually a really good game.
Pure? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Anything else?
Okay. No, I'm done.
All right. Let's go topical.
Okay.
So, rumors are that Titan, Blizzard's next MMO, will be a casual MMO. Is it smart for Blizzard to make a casual MMO?
No, the thing is, a lot of people consider WoW a casual MMO.
I guess I just don't know what that language means. What's a casual MMO?
Well, that's...
is that like Second Life? Is Second Life a casual MMO?
Or like Free Realms, I guess? I don't know. I mean, I think they'd be wise to make something that doesn't directly compete with WoW, like something different.
Sure. Do they mean like there won't be raiding?
That could be.
Or like, I don't know what that means. Titan.
It's very nebulous. I mean... Even if, like, I mean, I don't know what casual means, but right. Again, Blizzard will make a quality product. Like, I have no doubt of that.
Yeah, I just want
to... So, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I guess so. Okay, so, you'll buy the Resident Evil 4 and Code Veronica HD combo when it's released.
Possibly. For some reason, I really liked Resident Evil Code Veronica, and I don't typically like Resident Evil games.
So you would buy for that.
I played a lot of that one. Yeah.
I'd be much more interested in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, I mean, I'll certainly like to play that in HD as well.
Because I like Resident Evil 4 a lot, and then I played Resident Evil 5, and Resident Evil 5 seemed kind of dumb to me. I kind of wonder if Resident Evil 4 really was just that much better, or if like...
Or if it was just like, it was like such a new idea at the time that's been way perfected since.
Right, yeah, I'm pretty...
And so it's hard to go back.
Yeah, I really want to try that out.
Kind of like GoldenEye, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be.
All right. Well, man, we're running down these, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right, next. You would buy The Last Story, Xenoblade, and or Pandora's Tower if they were brought to the U.S.
Probably not.
I know you wouldn't.
Not for me. I can understand it's, you know, they have their fans. That's great. But, I mean, they're not games I'm interested in personally.
I wonder what the last JRPG you bought was.
The Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, I can't believe you bought that.
I can't believe you did. It was a complete whim.
I knew you wouldn't like it.
I did not play much of it.
It's a good game, but I just knew you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if any of those games would even... How, like, they would review.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sure, like, we'll see, like, import reviews of them.
I think, like, the last, like, critically acclaimed JRPG was Persona 4. Probably.
Yeah. The problem is, it's a very tired genre. It hasn't really seen a major innovation in a very long time.
Yeah, I guess. I thought Final Fantasy 13 changed things up pretty dramatically with their battle system, but most people were butthurt about the, you know, linear world or whatever. All right, then. Sony CEO Howard Stringer should step down.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly what his day-to-day is like. As a public face, I feel like he did a pretty poor job during the whole hack attack. He just seemed very arrogant and dismissive about the whole thing.
That's just another way of saying that he sounded like an CEO.
Well, no, but I mean, the things he said were like, you know, people were criticizing that it took Sony too long to notify the public, and he's like, oh, most places take months to do. You're telling me my 2 weeks weren't good enough? And it's like, well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Like,
but is he right, though? Do most places take months to do it?
I don't know.
Did they do a better job than other companies? Like I said, I don't know. I don't see what him stepping down would accomplish at all. I think that's a little silly.
Well, then you have allegations that Sony, like, right before this happened, laid off a significant number of their security force, and then, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, they were hacked. Like, so there's a call that he mismanaged things, and... I mean, again, I don't know. I don't know exactly what role he played in all this.
I can't imagine it was a giant one. Like, you say allegations. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Would that really have helped anything?
The bottom line is,
it's not like those people are like little police dogs and they're like, you know, they're inside their computers with like, you know, a Tron and they're like fighting hackers.
That'd be awesome, though.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is he was in charge at the time that the company was hit with one of the worst data breaches of any company in the history of ever.
I guess so. I still haven't seen, like... I still haven't heard a whole lot of horror stories about, like, people losing their identity or their credit cards being charged somewhere because of this. Have you?
Well, I don't know. John Davison's Twitter account was hacked earlier today.
Well, okay, but that's John Davison. A lot could go on there. I haven't heard about too many lives being ruined by this. Mm-hmm. If lives aren't being ruined, I don't think this guy needs to step down. So far, right. It seems to me like this whole thing was a minor convenience to a lot of people. Like, we couldn't play...
Well, you know the PlayStation Network is still down in Japan.
Sure. Those guys don't even like online games, so whatever. They'll be okay.
That's
they're
true.
All playing Monster Hunter locally right now.
You raise a valid point,
they
actually.
They probably don't even notice. They do not know what a PSN is.
That's funny.
Okay, so before we get to the let's go topical question this week that we're going to share with everybody, why don't we do that? Because we forgot to in the beginning here. So last week, community question was, what classic game would you like to see ported to the 3DS? Matthew Mason said, having been playing Ocarina of Time, I'd definitely like to see Majora's Mask. But rather than just give it the touch and shine, I'd like to see Nintendo give it a new visual style that matches its dark and bizarre tone.
I think we're much more likely to get the former.
Yeah, I'm sure too. Like, I wonder what he means by it. I wonder what he sees, like, new visual style.
Well, imagine taking, like the kind of visual style of Skyward Sword, but making it kind of darker, I guess.
Like what? With a little gray added?
Well, like...
I mean, I kind of thought that was... Like, I mean, I'm
trying to think of the parallel. I had something in my mind.
I haven't played a whole lot of Majora's Mask, but the fact that it kind of had that quirky art design and everything kind of looked weird. Like, Tingle. Like, the fact that, like, Tingle on Nintendo 64 looked freaky as hell because of low textures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of was, like, a big part of him being all creepy.
Right.
I bet that Majora's Mask will come.
Oh, yeah.
So, Evan, I said Evan.
Nice. I did. Let's see if you get the last name.
Actually, the funny thing is I said Evan. I'm like, stop myself. I'm like, no, isn't it even? Nope.
Nope.
Evan Killham.
Kill him, but close enough.
I just looked at it. I'm like, oh, it's just the two words, kill and ham. I can't believe I never noticed that before. That's pretty funny. Kill him. All right. Kill him. Smash TV, both because of the opportunities for multiplayer and because the game is full of cheapo 3D moments already. Might as well make the most of that whole eyeball flying at your face thing. But then... That's kind of a twin-stick shooter without twin sticks. I guess you would use
a touchscreen.
Twin
sticks back in the day, either.
No, I guess so. Just figure something out.
Yeah.
Stuart Simpson says, how about putting old isometric games on there like Syndicate or Populous 2? I think they look really nice in 3D. I never played either of those.
Yeah, but I know what he means. That could work.
Drew Robbins, I agree with everything that Matthew said. I also wouldn't mind Donkey Kong 64 and all those other collection games from the 64 that everyone hates now but me. Yeah, I never liked Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, although I feel like that style of game might work a little better on a handheld, where you could just be like, oh, I got like 5 minutes to go, I'm just going to try to grab all these bananas on this level.
That's what you're going to do for your 5 minutes, is grab some bananas?
I guess so.
I guess.
Come on, like, you don't want to see the DK rap in 3D?
Well, I do. You could just release that as, like, a $1 download. The DK rap in 3D. Okay, so here's our thing. What Summer of Arcade title are you looking most forward to? Would you mind listing them all again for us?
Sure, as soon as I pull open that page again. Thanks for the heads up.
No.
They are going to be Bastion, then From Dust, which is kind of like a god game. Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, which I have to admit I don't know much about, but everybody seems
it's
really hot on.
Basically, it's kind of like a Metroidvania thing, but you're in a little spaceship. You know what it reminds me of? Remember that Aquarium game or Aquarium?
Yeah.
Kind of like that, but you're on a spaceship. It looks really cool.
Fruit Ninja Connect, which could be a lot of fun, and Toy Soldiers Cold War.
I gotta say Bastion. I think
Bastion, me too. Really from everything I've heard, this game's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, I just it really is a lot of fun. I'm a sucker for those kind of Diablo style games, anyways, and it has this really neat art style, and I love the whole narrating thing.
Yeah,
I think From Dust and Insanely Twisted Pixel Planet, is that the name?
Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
My bad.
But you're thinking Twisted Pixel, I know, the developers exactly. of Comic Jumper.
Right. But those two both look really good also.
Yeah.
So let me know which one you're looking most forward to and why, and tell us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Excuse me.
Yes, Facebook is run through us. It's explodingbarrel.com/Facebook. That's where you go for all your social networking.
That's right. We bought Facebook. Lol. I can't imagine what would be more expensive to buy right now than Facebook.
Not much.
Not much more would be expensive. Perhaps the entire country.
Yeah, like, you know, if we wanted to, like, just buy, like, Tahiti or something.
Right. Yeah. We bought Tahiti. I don't know how we'll possibly tie this into the podcast, but, you know, we got that country now. So, all right. Our week in gaming. We were playing some of the Uncharted 3 beta.
Yeah, we did. It was fun.
It was.
So, I mean, you got your standard, like, you know, team deathmatch and free-for-all modes. There's the co-op mode, which is kind of their take on a horde mode sort of thing. But, like, it mixes up the objectives that you're playing. It was okay. The one thing that they got to change, I think, is out of the blue, some guy will appear in the rafters with a rocket launcher and just blow up your entire team.
Well, it's like the one mode is, like, stand in this small square. So then somebody just comes out of nowhere and shoots a rocket launcher there, and then you're dead. Not a whole lot.
Yeah, there's absolutely no warning. Like, there's no way to know. You just basically die.
Right.
They should get rid of that. Other than that, though, it's fun. Mm-hmm. I wasn't liking it at first, but it started growing on me as we played it more.
It's not the greatest mode. I think the problem with it is that it just kind of was in one of the maps that is meant for, like, team deathmatch. Mm. Like, it was almost
guys come at you from literally every
angle. Right, and it's like, you know, horde maps or whatever usually kind of have a thing where it's like, now you stay here and they're going to come at you. I think you kind of had to make that up on your own. I feel like some maps that were like straight up designed for this would be better.
Right. But the mode I really liked was the 2-on-2-on-2 multiplayer mode, where it's just three teams of two.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun.
Like, because the game has this whole buddy system thing, and if you're doing team deathmatch, you're assigned a buddy, or you can get a new one by doing a high five or whatever. But, you know, in 2-on-2, obviously your buddy's just the other guy on your team. And it's cool because, kind of like, you know, there's like a, instead of kill streaks, like in Modern Warfare, you have like, what do they call them, perks?
Something like that, but basically you acquire medals as you play to unlock your ability.
And one way to get medals is if you and your other person work together, I mean, if you and your buddy work together, kill somebody, you can stand over their corpse and high five, and you'll get a medal and, you know,
and you
money
get some cash
and get
too.
Some cash. Basically, that means experience. And just, you know, like the one you can get right away is just instantly get a rocket launcher that has two shots in it, for instance. But
yeah, I mean, it's super fun. I mean, you know, the Uncharted gameplay as ever is awesome. I just like that mode because it's very easy to coordinate teamwork between two people.
Right. Do you like that whole like the beginning of the airplane level when like it?
Yeah, that was sweet.
Actually, when it went, I wish that like there's a whole, like you can do a way to make the level just that for a while or make that part longer.
Yeah.
Because that part's pretty short, really, but it's really neat.
Yeah. Then that just kind of falls into the standard map, and you're like, okay.
Right. All right. Now we're playing multiplayer again. But you know, I mean, it's very. Just not entirely dissimilar from what Uncharted 2 did. Like, the customizing your character is pretty neat. I think some stuff is... I don't know if, like, the final product's going to be like this, but there's a lot of locked things to really customize them so they don't feel all that customized.
Yeah, at the beginning,
right,
everyone looks... Yeah, everyone looks the same
right
now.
Yeah, I'm going to push you to open something up. Like, you unlock more of them by... Because, like, during a match, like, there will literally be a treasure chest up here that everyone will kind of run for it. Another cool thing, too, like, during, like, team deathmatch, like, sometimes they'll randomly mark a person on a team as a VIP, and if you shoot that person then and kill them, then they're worth 2 points, and if the other team can defend them, then they'll get more points after so much time. So, you know, they're clearly trying hard to put some new ideas in there, kind of out of necessity, because they can't just go straight up against Call of Duty. I think a lot of it's neat.
Yeah, it's very good.
I agree. I like that. And what
it was, it had a very rocky start.
Well, sure. Well, I mean,
I couldn't even connect to a game. Then they did a patch, and everything's a lot better.
Right, you had to wait for after that first day. Although I still have this problem now, where like a lot of times after a round, the game will just lock up, and I have to restart my PS.
Every time it happens.
Every time yesterday, yeah. And then like yesterday, I was playing some more by myself, and it was happening still a bit.
Now, what I can't figure out is, you know, as usually happens whenever there's a beta on Twitter, like every journalist under the sun is giving away beta codes, and you know, fill in the question mark and see if you get the beta code. Meanwhile, I just kind of want to raise my hand and be like, we're all PlayStation Plus subscribers right now. All of us.
I guess if you get a code, you get a bonus, perk thing where when you die, you turn into a zillion bugs that could kill people. So there is one thing you get.
That sounds kind of dumb.
Bug!
God, I was waiting for that. So yeah, I would like to take this time now to thank the hackers for getting us all into the Uncharted 3 beta. Mission accomplished, guys.
In a way, there's some good came of this, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Although so many people are giving away codes, I don't think it would have been hard to find one.
So yeah, let's see. What else has been played this week? I know I played a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to remember it all right now. I played Trenched.
You like it?
I got that. It's awesome. Imagine if you took kind of like the gameplay of like Monday Night Combat, where you have like a kind of shooter mixed with tower defense, and crafted a single player campaign around that. That was in a really neat kind of World War I-ish setting with sci-fi.
Right.
It's pretty sweet.
No, I mean, I played it at E3, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like the mech customization. I like you can either focus on more firepower for yourself, or more slots for different emplacements, or balance the two. So it's, you know, do you want to play it more like a tower defense, or you want to play it more like a shooter?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool, and I could see that being really awesome in multiplayer, where everyone kind of specializes.
Right.
So I haven't gotten to do multiplayer yet. I want to. But yeah, it's really, really fun, actually. I heartily recommend it. Let's see, I also played the demo for El Shaddai. Have you seen this?
Isn't that the game that Shane Bentenhouse has been working on?
Yeah, from Ignition.
Right.
It's a mixed bag for me right now. I mean, my enjoyment of Japanese character action games is already kind of thin. But I was trying to find the depth to the game, and it's lacking. Because, like, I'm like, okay, the A button's jump, X button's attack. I'm going to guess the Y button's heavy attack. And I'm using it. I'm like, no, it's just attack.
Again?
What's the B button do? Oh, that's just jump as well. So, okay, you really only need two buttons.
So it could have been an NES game.
Exactly. The cool mechanic is when you stun an enemy, you can steal their weapon.
Yeah.
Like, but there's only two weapons so far. A sword and a gun, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like there's not enough variety to the combat. It feels repetitious so far.
Hmm.
The visuals are incredible. It's a very neat-looking game. Then, like, there's platforming, but it's that weird jumping that, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right.
Is it the fast fall jumping? Is that what I like to call it?
Yeah,
where it's, yeah.
Exactly. You, like, leap into the air, and you just drop.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes platforming really hard.
Like, it's probably more, like, realistic, like actual jumping, but it's not good for actual, you know, platforming.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. You could try the demo, see what you think, I guess. Yeah, play more Zelda 3DS.
Right. It's Zelda.
Yeah, it's very good. And I feel like there's one other thing I play. In the meantime, what you play?
Oh, I think pretty much is Uncharted. Not much. I bought Witcher 2 yesterday. I haven't played it yet, so I have nothing to say about that.
Yeah, I want
to
try that.
Oh, what were the Steam sale items today, by the way?
Oh, I didn't look yet.
Let's look. We'll talk about them on the podcast.
I don't have any money to be buying Steam games right now.
I don't even
care.
Those
jerks.
They know my weakness.
Yeah.
Oh, they have another. It looks like wait a second. Yeah, that Total War Shogun 2 game is 40% off.
Oh, wow, that's good. Black Ops is on sale. Devil May Cry 4 is $10. Dungeons is $14.
Wait, can you just... Hey. Oh my god, Just Cause 2. It's $5.
It's $5. I just saw that. That's tempting.
I'm buying it right now.
Okay. Mike, why are you buying that?
Just cause.
Thank you.
I picked up on that. I was like, this is a joke. Oh man, I'm so excited to play this.
Braid is $2.50. KOTOR is $2.50.
Oh really? I had a, like...
Yeah.
I always wondered if that would work on Steam, because I bought, like, that Star Wars collection thing, and, like, right. that version of it would not work.
Right.
Just Cause 2. Man, I'm going to buy so many games. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Just Cause 2, though. I like that demo. This is going
to
be fun.
Yesterday, Back to the Future was half off.
Right.
That was pretty good, I thought. I need to finish that.
Yay! I have another game.
Okay,
hopefully,
good for
it's a lot better than Far Cry 2, which I didn't really like. Which is also $5.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
I really didn't.
A lot of people like it.
I gotta be honest, I don't get it. It's a really boring open world. There's nothing to do but drive through it. But, you know, different strokes.
Yep. Do you have your 10 games in your Steam wish list so you could try to win them?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, you have to, basically, as you accrue tickets from this thing, which you can unlock achievements or just do things on Steam, you get tickets, and each ticket's an entry to win the first 10 items on your wish list.
Yeah. That's so weird to me. Like, Knights of the Republic is $2.50.
It's a good game. All right, so I guess we're done with that.
Right.
Good segue. Or tangent, or whatever it is. Oh, I want Goo Gear snorkels for my robots in Portal 2. I need another ticket. Damn.
What do you need?
Anyway. Oh, you could redeem your tickets for little free DLC things like that. And one of them is you get little snorkels for the robots in Portal 2.
Oh, okay.
You also get some summer shades for Team Fortress 2.
Oh, cool.
Yeah? Yeah.
All right. Do you want to run down the new releases?
Oh, yeah, sure. I could do that for you.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we got? Next week. Oh, I remember what else I played now. Street Fighter 4 Volt on my iPad. Oh. Basically, just kind of re-released Street Fighter 4 with some more characters.
Right.
They did this thing where, like, it came out yesterday, it's $1. Today, it's $2. And every day, the price is going to go up $1 till it hits its regular $7 price. So, yeah.
That's an interesting way to handle things.
Yeah, Street Fighter 4, it's good. I like it. Online play, shit. I tried playing it online. Don't bother. Lag city.
I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming out. NCAA Football 12 for 360 PS3. Panzer Corps in the PC. Mizsplosion Man comes out. I'm in the beta. I haven't played it yet. I should do that, I guess.
Well, you're in the beta. There's a beta for that.
Yeah. I got into it. Let's see. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, PS3, 360, PC, Wii, DS. UFC Personal Trainer, the Ultimate Fitness System for Wii. L.A. Noire's Reefer Madness DLC comes out next week. Wicked Monster Blast on the Wii. The Ben 10 Triple Pack on DS. Zoo Resort 3D on the 3DS.
Aren't you like a week ahead? Like,
am I?
An extra week ahead?
Am I?
I think so.
Did I already click the button? Did I screw this up? I did.
Yeah. You're too
so
far ahead.
There's a super look to the future. Let's look at next week.
Yeah, next week. This will be great when we do this again.
I feel like we did these already. Maybe we didn't. Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition for PC. That's what screwed me up. I saw that and I was like, we did that already. That's the PC version.
There you go.
Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon 360 PS3.
This is why I should do this. The one time I told you to do it, you fuck it up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
PlayStation Move Ape Escape Resistance Dual Pack and Jewel Match for the DS.
Ape Escape is like that one franchise. I'm always surprised it finds a way to keep on chugging.
Well, that game was so revolutionary because it's like, you like one-to-one control your sword with the second analog stick. It's this new mechanic.
It was the launch game with like the DualShock was like, oh my god, yeah. Two analog sticks. What are we even gonna do with this? I guess we'll make weird platforming games. Everyone's like, and then like some people were like, I bet first-person shooters might work well now. That will never work. That will never take off.
Bungie was like, hey, we got something to show you guys.
You know, now, Bungie always gets the credit for that, but TimeSplitters did do that, right?
Kind of.
What do you mean by kind of?
They mapped the controls, but what Bungie got right was kind of like the auto-aiming that didn't feel too upfront, I guess.
Right, obvious.
Yeah.
They probably had to... I bet TimeSplitters probably had the shoot button on, like, X or something.
Right. And there was some other... What shooter was I playing recently where you could tell there was no auto-aim at all happening, and it was just impossible to play?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was that?
Was it Resistance?
Duke Nukem, actually. No, it was Duke Nukem, I think.
Mm. You're getting no help.
Yeah.
You depend on it. All right, then.
Indeed.
I guess that's that. Yeah, it really is. I'm trying to think of anything. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, I'll be gone for like a month, so.
Oh, really?
See you all later.
You're not going to be on the next few episodes?
No, I'll be tooling around Colorado.
God damn it! Now I have to edit the show.
Yep, sorry.
All right. Well, I'll get peeps. Don't worry, you guys. I'll probably make Kevin come on. It'll be funny. Just fix their episodes. I love them. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and on Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. And of course, you can download the podcast straight on the iTunes Music Store and the Zoom Marketplace. And be sure to go to our Facebook page so you can answer this week's community question, which again is, which Summer of Arcade title are you looking the most forward to? Bastion, From Dusk, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, Fruit Ninja, and Toy Soldier. Right?
Yep.
Cool. All right, then. Once again, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.